if they want to be part of that ministry there. And as they're there being taught college classes for a semester, they understand and get the vision of what is needed there in that area. Well, we have Paul that did the same thing. If we go to Acts chapter 14 and look at what happened there, so we're looking at who, and John 15 says, who is answered this way. In John 15, 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now this is Christ speaking, and he says, I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that this fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Well, we can see from this beginnings, early church here, the New Testament church, God answered these prayers because we have the New Testament church abroad the whole world today. This church came out of being the oldest church in Tennessee off the East Coast and from England, and then from England across back into Europe and Europe back into the around the Mediterranean. And we can see that over the past 2,000 some years, this church is a direct connection to all that was going on in Paul's ministry at that time to the Gentiles. Now, today we want to look at how the New Testament church got started. In Acts 14, 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. So here we have Paul on the mission field. He's there with Barnabas. Barnabas doesn't get stoned, but Paul does. And he asks, why didn't they just do that? Because Paul was probably the speaker, spoke the most, preached the most, preached the gospel. And these people that men often, these men that these Judaizers, they were seeing Paul and Barnabas take the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though they didn't even agree with what they were preaching. They didn't want the Gentiles to have it. They were completely opposed to those people in those two cities, Antioch and Iconium, of having anything. Men often travel. I've been on the mission field many times. Brother Harry and I used to travel quite a bit 10, 15 years ago. It's just the devil gets in people, and men will often travel farther to do evil than they will to do good. It's just the devil forces people. These men had left Jerusalem and followed them on the mission field trying to get rid of the gospel. Many men show more zeal in opposing the gospel. We can see that right here today. People oppose the gospel. They don't want the truth. They don't want to be bound to that truth. They want to do what they want to do. I talked about that a week or so ago. And we see it right here. The same thing was going on in this early church. These men were against the gospel being preached, professing Christians. They were doing anything that they could do to stop the gospel. Here we see Paul was stoned. Now, some people think he was not dead. Some people think he was dead. Whatever it was, he was stoned. He was knocked out. They drug him out and threw him out in the garbage pile at the gate of the city. The city gates, they did business at them, and they would take the garbage out and usually just dump it over the hill there, right outside the city gate. They had drugged Paul out there and thrown him over the hill. Supposedly he was dead. Now there's different opinions on that. But what I think, whether he was dead or not, it was a miracle that the man, he stood up. Because when the disciples went out there to get him, he stood up and had been stoned. either dead or near death. But it was still a miracle for him to be able to just wake up and stand up. And then just from that moment on, he said, let's get with it. Let's get out of here and go preach somewhere else for a while. So I think, and I believe, I can't center up on him was whether he was dead or not dead. A lot of good people have different opinions on that. But I just have to take what God's word says. Supposed he was dead. They supposed that he was dead because they drug him out and threw him over the hill. They thought they'd killed him. So we see that Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 11:26, in journeying often, in perils, in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, which that was this situation. He was a Jew, but he was a Roman also. His own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils at sea, in perils among false brethren. What's that about? False brethren, people pretending to be something they weren't. Can we parallel that today with our missionaries on the field? I can tell you right now, I have been in places that is so uncomfortable with people that wearing uniforms and carrying military weapons on the street, follow you around in the airport. It's scary. But when you go do that stuff, you leave it in God's hands. That's what our missionaries are doing today. We know we lost a good missionary a year or so ago in a country. People just walked up and shot him in his car in front of his wife and children. Perils. Our missionaries today are facing those same kind of things. Levi deals with a group of people, and there's a lot of them in England. There's places he can't go. He can't walk down an English street in some communities because of the perils and danger to him and his family. It's all over the world like that. There's no different today than it was then. So just another thing that we need to do, which these verses talks about, is that's something we really need to pray about for safety for these missionaries that we support. They go into some places that are just not comfortable. Sometimes you see we had to shut off the live stream to even talk about them because they don't need to be out. They don't want it out on the internet. Perils. It's real. The devil is real against the New Testament church missionary program that we support strongly. The deacons just voted on some stuff. It's amazing what we're doing around the world and helping and giving money for this and money for that. And it all comes from this church. And we've got that great Indian fund that helps do things in India. And there's perils there, big time. There's perils everywhere. So we need to pray about that for people. So Paul wrote, I mean, he was saying that just everywhere he went, he was in perils, everywhere. Then back to Acts 14:19, about him getting thrown out. And howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up and came into the city. He just got up and went back in the city. There in verse 20. This is Acts 14:19, starting in verse 20. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Some of these names are hard for me to say. My mouth just don't work that way. I'm just an old country boy. And when they had preached the gospel, number one, preached the gospel. The next verse, these next few verses here, has all the stuff that a missionary needs. and all the stuff that they're going to do, because it's all laid out right here, some 2,000 years ago. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra and Iconia and Antioch. Now, folks, you tell me about a guy, two guys, Barnabas and Paul. They turned right around. They went out of there and went to another city. They preached the gospel, taught many, and turned right around and went back to the city that they just stoned him, supposedly, to death. Now, folks, we've got some missionaries just like that today. They're on God's side, and they know God's on their side. And they have the strength, the Holy Spirit, that strengthens them to go into places that nobody else will go. And our mission money supports that. Buddy, I'm behind somebody like that. I may not be able to go. I come close to going to Africa back in 85. I rolled with her for a year because I went on a mission trip there for 3 weeks. I thought I was feeling called. Wooled with it. And finally, God answered a prayer that I need to stay home and support missions financially. Because it takes us. We're not going. We're sending these young people. So we see here that he was bold enough with the power of the Holy Spirit on his life to go back to the same city that he had just got stoned to death, supposedly. Now, I'm just telling you, when I was in the Ukraine, bless them people's hearts, what precious people in the middle of that mess over there. It ain't just in that country. It's a world mess. It's letting that go on. We had opposition. When we were there, we could not get something going. It just kept getting up against. And the local preacher that we were staying with, through the interpreter, he spoke a little bit of English. Most of the young people speak English. He told us, we've got to pray to get this straightened out. There's somebody holding us back. Opposition. The devil, you could feel it. Folks, there's places that I've been that you can feel the opposition. Uncomfortable situations. We need to really pray for our missionaries. It's real what they step into. When they step off that airplane with their family, my, they're trusting the Lord to protect them and see people saved. And we started praying there in the Ukraine, and finally, 2-3 days later, the pastor came to us and said, well, I found the problem. There's two guys that's been going around behind us telling people lies of the devil. And they run them out of town. They didn't mess around. They just got them two characters by the coattail and just throwed them out of town. Said, get out of here. We don't want you back here. Run them out of town. Well, you couldn't do that in this country. Well, they did there. And it immediately opened up what we were trying to do. Now, tell me that wasn't God in the middle of that. Because some prayer to find out what the problem was. Went into this big concrete Air Force base, concrete towers, 10, 15 story tall military buildings. They'd left. Ukrainian people had moved in, was living in them things. Went in there and started preaching in a courtyard in the middle of that old air base. few people came out. One old guy came out, son, he was ugly. Just talking trash, talking terrible stuff. The national pastor just took him by and said, "We need to talk to you." Took him over and set him down. He just went on and on and on for an hour or so. We just kept preaching the word. People started coming. Young people started getting saved. We ended up seeing 60, 70 people get saved in 2 hours, plus that old guy that was so nasty. Because we had a guy speaking through a translator, and we were back here on our knees praying, "God, give us a victory." And he did. Another thing saying that prayer works. Let's go in here and read this. So in verse 21 it says, "Preaching the gospel had taught many," teaching, not necessarily preaching, but teaching. Do you get that? We have a pastor that stands up here and preaches, but he also teaches us. He'll preach the word, but then he'll slow down a little bit and say, "Now, this is what's going on," or tell some story that relates to it. That's teaching. We get it. He brings it down to a level where we live and can understand. And that's what these boys were doing. It had taught many. And then in verse 22 it says, confirming the souls of the disciples. Now these disciples back then weren't like the disciples that were thinking. These were members of the local church, is what they were talking about there. So they were confirming these souls and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, basically, they were teaching the same lesson I was teaching. They were confirming the souls. They were seeing people got saved, and then they would say, "Okay, now, did you do this? Did you," just like a discipleship class. "Here's what this is, and this is this, and you need to be baptized, or you can get baptized, and this and that. You've trusted Christ, your Savior, shed blood," and all that, going through it, confirming and exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, "Okay, great, this is good. You're going to get a church started here." Same thing our missionaries does. Some little storefront in some little community in the middle of some big city on the outskirts somewhere, there may be 100,000 people just over in this corner of the town. And they have a little storefront. And they're seeing people saved and are having Bible studies. What's a Bible study? Confirming their souls. Exhorting them to continue in the faith. And when they had, in verse 23, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they got leaders set in place." Boy, how does that, I mean, that's what we do today. Nothing different there. That's why we're a King James Version Bible-believing church. We do exactly what the Word says. No, don't take anything from it. Don't add anything to it. Exactly what the Word says. On whom they have believed. So they ordained these elders in the church and had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They commended them to the Lord, not to each other, not to the elders, but to the Lord. So if you want to back up and really look at how a New Testament church is started with these missionaries, or even this New Testament church got started, in verse 20, In verse 21, they preached the gospel, number one. They had taught many, is number two. They, in verse 22 there, they confirming the souls. They exhorted them to continue in the faith. They ordained elders, set leaders in positions to carry on the church matters, and had prayed over all that. I mean, what a pattern. In regards to a missionary tour that they took, and it says then, I mean, this comes down to what we're doing today, what we've done the last 3 days here in this church. It says there in verse 27, it says, and when they come, were come and gathered the church together, they were back home, they rehashed all that God had done with them and how he had opened doors of faith unto the Gentiles. And they all abode a long time with the disciples. There's your missionary conference. In regard to this missionary tour that we just read about, where he got almost killed with rocks or was or whatever, and preaching and establishing churches and confirming the souls, exhorting them, ordaining leaders in the church, and prayed with them, and fasting, commending them to the Lord. All that was done. And here they are, they go home, and they're telling about what a great mission trip they had. Isn't that what we're doing? We're listening to missionaries talk about what they're getting ready to do, or have done, or seen done, or what's going on in that country they're going to. How can it get any closer to what we're doing? This preaching the gospel, there in verse 7, and they preached the gospel. Folks, and they taught many that. The right way is God's way. To sow the seed is God's way. Now, does God say that's going to be easy? No. It takes work. It takes money. Folks, it's so complex to even get a visa now. It's unbelievable what Levi has went through to get them boys of his that were born there. They get an American visa and an English visa and citizenship. It's unbelievable how much time it's took to get that. It's unbelievable what Levi and Brittany do now for those students that try to come in the country. It's just paperwork and paperwork and stacks of paperwork when they go into these countries. And one of the countries that's just really in deep in paperwork is India. I've never seen a beat in my born days. It's like they don't have a lot of Wi-Fi, so they do a lot of stuff on paper locally. And you got to go get this guy to stamp it. So they'll lay out 10 sheets of paper, and this guy will stamp it. And he'll stamp that one, and stamp that one, and that stamp that. And then he'll shuffle the paper, and they'll go back through it. And they say, okay, this is approved to go to the next office. Then you take all those papers and go over here to that office, and they lay them all out again. And they'll look at them and say, well, you'll have to come back tomorrow. We don't have time to look at all this today. Then you come back tomorrow, and the guy's there, and he stamps this and stamps this and stamps that, and they pack it all up again, make copies of it. And then they say, well, now you got to take this downtown, up that street and over there and down there in this little office there, and then they'll give you the final thing. Then you take it all down there, and they go through the same thing again. They all look at it, and they see all those stamps. Well, I believe that's, well, they stamped that one in the wrong place. You'll have to take that one back and get it restamped. And on and on and on. Folks, just the process. We need to pray for the process for these guys to get on the field. Are you getting the picture? This whole process is run on prayer. God wants us to pray. We got to keep praying for this process. And we got to keep giving our monies. Because, again, if you read about the sower of the seed, and the sower went out and sowed the seed, there in Luke chapter 8, it talks about that. And he sowed the seed. Some fell on the wayside. Some fell on the rocks. Some fell on thorns. Some fell on good ground. God says right there in Luke chapter 8, just seeing people saved is difficult. Not only in foreign fields, but here today, in this world that we have, this great country, the United States, there's so much opposition to a salvation, to a Christian, in education, in politics, and anywhere you go, it's opposition, opposition. It's not easy. Our preacher needs to be prayed for. Our missionaries need to be prayed for. And on and on and on. Prayer is such a vital thing. Confirming souls. We need to see souls saved right here. Right here. Right here. We need to pray that the preaching from this pulpit touches hearts, changes lives, and souls saved. You need to pray. It don't cost us a thing to pray. A little bit of time. But today we're adding up how much we're going to give to missions next year. We've got a wonderful mission program, don't we? So many missionaries. We'd like to give them all a raise. We're starting to cycle through that people Pastor Lasley picked up that are coming off the field retiring. And now we're starting to see, well, I've got 10 positions I need to fill this year. Well, how in the world do we do that? We get stacks of letters. Are you praying that the pastor can sift through all that data and the deacons can help him? Again, we need to put new missionaries on the field. We need to pray for that. All this that we've talked about here, this mission work, our mission conference, all right there in the New Testament. It's all been patterned off of God's Word. We don't do anything outside of God's Word. And y'all know that. We just need to pray. And ask God to bless our missionary program, because we all know that we've talked about this for the last 6, 8, 10 months. Folks, it's so close to Christ coming back. Someday, the last soul will be saved. We don't know when. I think it'll be on a Sunday, somewhere on the face of the earth, because that's when most people go to church and get saved. Not necessarily. Maybe some missionary under a tree in the middle of a week, in the middle of Africa, in the middle of nowhere with animals running around, peeking to 10 natives that's never heard the word. Oh, I went on a trip with a guy one time that was a missionary pilot. For 3 weeks I was in Africa. What work that this guy did? One of them military veterans flew, decided to go back to Africa with his airplane. Folks, there's so much to be done and little time to do it. We just need to pray and keep praying for all these little pieces of the pie to come together for these missionaries. Okay, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you for our great missionary program that was started years ago in this church, and how it's grew and how we've had monies to do things with. Lord, thank you for all of that. Lord, I pray today that the funds will continue on and we can continue on in our mission work The sun never sets on our missions around the world. Lord, we love you so for your example in the New Testament and Paul and what he did with the disciples and Barnabas and all those guys fighting and fussing and pushing on for the cause of Christ. Help our missionaries around the world just to push on for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.